Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We have a special guest today on our Rare Care Podcast, Pamela Gavin, the new CEO of the National Organization for Rare Disorders, also known as NORD. Pam took over May 1st as only the third chief executive in NORD's history, replacing Peter Saltonstall, who had led the nonprofit group for 16 years. Among Pam's achievements over her 12 years with NORD has been the creation and evolution of NORD's patient registry program, which has over 50 patient registries and more than 18,000 enrolled participants. I've known Pam ever since covering my first NORD Orphan Drug Summit in Washington, D.C. back in 2017, and it's a real pleasure to have you on our program. Welcome.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be with you as well.
So congratulations on your promotion. Effective May 1st, you became the CEO of the National Organization for Rare Disorders, which, as I understand, currently is an umbrella group for more than 300 patient advocacy groups.
That's correct. Thank you very much. It's an honor to have this opportunity.
According to the best estimates that you have, how many rare diseases are there now?
I think we know across the globe, recognize approximately 10,000.
Now, some diseases that were considered rare, such as multiple sclerosis, are actually not that rare. We understand there are well over 1 million Americans with MS. Parkinson's also is becoming a rather common disease. How do you differentiate, and what is your cutoff for a disease considered rare?
We follow the definition of the Orphan Drug Act, which would be 200,000. I think watching MS go from a rare condition to a more common condition is reflective of a lot of things, including our ability to diagnose people more quickly and, you know, find them where they are.
How would you describe the mission statement of NORD in a sentence or two?
NORD recognizes that really to have the greatest effect in improving people's lives, we have to look at the intersection between advancing care, expanding the research that is taking place, and addressing issues and challenges that people live with day to day through policy initiatives.
Okay, let's go over those piece by piece. I'd like to ask you currently in 2024, what are some of the top issues that you're following as they affect Americans with rare conditions?
Well, it still takes too long to get people diagnosed. On average, anywhere from 5 to 7 years, people are often misdiagnosed and go down a different pathway until they get properly diagnosed. And for some, it's even longer than that. And getting a diagnosis is usually an important first step in the journey because you know what you're dealing with, and your family, your clinicians can rally behind what that condition is and hopefully do a better job treating it. So that's still a problem that we need to continue to, you know, break down the barriers that exist in getting people properly diagnosed. And there, of course, there are many. It's a big challenge for rare diseases.
Right. And you said average time 5 to 7 years to get a proper diagnosis.
Yes, it's quite a long journey.
And that also entails a financial cost by having to go to one doctor after another and then possibly being prescribed medications that don't help you.
That's absolutely true.
There are
lots of, you know, mental, psychosocial burdens, too, that come with not knowing what you have or what you are experiencing. What your child is experiencing doesn't seem to ladder up to what you may find in the medical literature or what the clinicians that are caring for you are saying. So it can be a very difficult journey.
Right. And you have a personal experience with a rare disease. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. My nephew was born with a rare condition, a leukodystrophy called metachromatic leukodystrophy. He was misdiagnosed more than one time, was missing his developmental milestones as a baby. You know, with each diagnosis, everyone felt like, okay, we know what we're dealing with now. And then you move on with your life, but then things continue to evolve in a way that doesn't align with the diagnosis you were given. So you know that something more is going on, something's very wrong. And so eventually he was diagnosed with metachromatic leukodystrophy and was told, like many families, my brother and sister-in-law, to bring him home and keep him comfortable and enjoy the time that you have with him, that there was no treatments or cures aside from palliative treatment.
And he passed away how long ago?
It's terrible to say, because that we certain things you block off in your mind, but I think quite a few years ago now. He was born in 1991 and lived to be about 7, I think. And back in those days, people couldn't communicate with one another like we can now. Finding patient organizations and community members to rally with you and to participate in clinical trials, all that interconnectivity that exists today didn't exist then. It was a very, very, very isolating journey.
I can imagine. Has treatment for MLD improved since then?
As a matter of fact, Larry, this has been an exciting year. The first FDA-approved therapy for MLD was launched earlier this year, and it's a gene therapy. So MLD became one of the 5% or so known rare conditions that have an FDA-approved treatment. So
that's a wonderful news.
Incredibly,
yes, that's
wonderful
great
thing to celebrate, yes.
That brings me to my next question. In fact, I wanted to ask about gene therapy, since so much focus is directed towards gene therapy. I just came from a Cure Duchenne conference in Orlando, at which gene therapy for Duchenne muscular dystrophy was a huge topic. What do you make of the progress regarding gene therapy in 2024?
It's phenomenal. It's absolutely incredibly inspiring and hopeful. We have so much opportunity before us. When my nephew was born, was not available. So there's great, great promise. We have to make sure that all that promise can be translated into reality for people living with rare conditions, where gene therapies are a plausible solution.
Yet gene therapy doesn't even start at under $1 million. Some of these therapies are $3.5, even closer to $4 million. Putting them way beyond the reach of average people who either don't have incredibly good insurance or don't have access through the drug companies themselves. What can be done about that?
It's an incredibly complex problem, similar to solving world hunger. We have a really complex healthcare system and insurance system in this country. There are a lot of challenges that we all collectively, as a healthcare ecosystem, need to pursue. Otherwise, all the great scientific and medical and technical work will not see the light of day. And it doesn't make sense that we would be putting these, what is within arm's reach, that we would be investing in these kinds of resources and not see to it that patients can receive them. There's a lot of suffering that can be mitigated through these kinds of treatments. It's a complicated situation, and NORD is committed to working with the stakeholders in our ecosystem to address the components of it that they're capable of addressing.
Yeah.
So for us, making sure patients are well informed about the benefits and risks, advocating for access is really important. Making sure that we can address the technological challenges, the costs of manufacturing, et cetera. Those are the bits and pieces, of which there are many, that we need to tackle collectively as an ecosystem.
Okay, I'd like to specifically ask you about some programs you have been involved in over the years at NORD. One is the Rare Disease Centers of Excellence, and another is your Patient Registry Program. Can you tell us what you were able to accomplish with each of these and what your plans are moving forward?
Sure. I'll start with the registry program, the I Am Rare Registry Program. I'm super excited to chat with you about that. It's a program that I was participated in its launch back in 2014, was the first natural history study that we launched with the VHL Alliance, or for the VHL Alliance. It really speaks to one of the issues that you mentioned, like what can we do to ensure that there's access to treatments. NORD got involved in developing this program and the software platform, along with the services that go along with it, to help patient advocacy organizations and patients who are interested in engaging in research, to help de-risk the process somewhat, because there's so little known about rare diseases the amount of time and energy spent in just trying to understand the progression of rare diseases, of any one rare disease, is a challenging, expensive proposition. And patients and family members, caregivers, can play a very critical role in ensuring that their experience living with the condition can be parlayed into something that contributes to research. And through these registries, that's exactly what's happening. That is one major reason why NORD invested in this program back in 2012. We took a couple of years working with FDA and NIH in a collaborative manner and launched our first registry, as I said, in 2014.
And I also understand that in the past 5 years, nearly $175 million has been invested in financial support for your rare care patient assistance program.
Yes. NORD established the first patient assistance program for rare disease patients in particular back in 1987. So we've been providing these kinds of services to people who have financially challenged to get access to medical care and treatments for many, many years. There's always more need than there is the financial resources to support. So we're always looking to raise more money, but we're really pleased to be able to and honored to provide that white glove service to people living with rare conditions where there are dollars to help them get access to the medical care and treatments that they need.
Right. Before I forget, I would like to ask, how big is NORD in terms of employees, annual budget, et cetera? Any way to quantify it?
We have about 100 employees. We have about 90-91% of all the dollars that we raise go back to patients. So the largest portion of our budget goes to patients, and about 10% we use for operating our staff and providing those services, the 100 people that we have on staff to do.
How big is that budget?
Approximately $50 million.
Before wrapping up, I do want to ask you about the upcoming Living Rare, Living Stronger Patient Forum, which is scheduled for June 7th and 8th in Los Angeles. I understand that some very prominent people will be getting recognized at that event. Can you give us a nutshell what we can expect?
Yes, we're really excited to be going to the West Coast for the Rare Impact Awards. We end up Living Rare, Living Stronger Forum, which is the conference that we hold on the 8th. And then on the evening, we celebrate those honorees who have done extraordinary things from pioneering genetic research to, youth champions and longstanding patient advocacy leaders. The conference during the day is geared towards, we partnered with two of our centers of excellence, the University of California, Los Angeles, and Children's Hospital of Orange County, UC Irvine. They're one of, as you mentioned earlier, 40 centers of excellence across the country. But in LA, we partnering with our two network members in that area to provide programming for people living with rare diseases, helping them live day to day and caring for themselves, to learning about research, to self-advocacy and self-care. It runs the gamut, the topics that we cover. And we're excited to work with our local volunteers as well, who have, also part of NORD, the backbone of NORD.
It sounds like a very interesting program. Yes, we look forward to covering that. We are just about out of time. I wanted to thank you for speaking with me. It's been a pleasure, and we hope you'll participate in more podcasts with us in the future. So thank you
so much, Larry. It was an absolute pleasure, and appreciate the opportunity.
This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.